ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You know, Del, you bring a pretty good point. We're going to have to talk about that in a minute. But Jay's been waiting. Let's get him in here. Top of the hour, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Jay, what's up?
Hey, what's up, boys? Hey, I just want to talk about the unintended consequences. So everybody's been riding high on the hog here in Houston about the real estate boom, but I'm already starting to see that we're going to have to get used to what we saw last night in Minute Maid. Who do you think we're selling all these homes to?
Oh, my
God. At cash
prices,
right? So if you think about it, Texas is the next Florida. We're going to start seeing USC flags on Saturdays. We're going to start seeing Bruin shirts in Academy. We're going to start to see Oregon Duck stuff here and there. So, hey, guys, welcome to the show. We're the next Florida. We're going to be a transplant state. We're going to have everybody flying their flag when their team comes to town. So the Houston fans, realtors, step up. Stop selling to people outside of our area. And let's take back control of our city. Other than that, boys, what we saw last night is going to be a mainstay. I'm out.
I saw a shirt that said, "Stop Californiaing our Texas," or something like that. Austin is already getting completely jacked. Like, it's San Francisco. Poo in the streets. Like, that's actually a thing in
Austin. Well, L.A.
Austin's.
People are moving to Austin
LA
all the
people?
Time. Yeah, I mean,
oh, yeah.
Obviously, Joe Rogan did it.
But general two people from NFL Network moved there because they can work remotely now. And so they moved to Austin. They wanted to get away from L.A. A lot of L.A. people are coming here because when they go to Austin, and listen, Austin's been expensive for a while now. Austin's not cheap to live. Austin's expensive. But the housing prices, when you come from L.A. to Austin, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, you know, it's about what we're used to, maybe even a little bit less, and no state income tax. So, so that is happening there. I don't know about if they're all moving to Houston, but maybe. But Houston's been a transplant state for a long time. That's not anything new. There was a migration when I was in, like, elementary and middle school. There was a transplant. There was a migration of people from Michigan. Because they couldn't find work there, and a lot of, like, I had two of my coach Liverance and coach, I can't remember the cool one. There was Liverance wasn't cool, but there was another one that was cool. But they were both from Michigan, and they were middle school basketball coaches and teachers. And there was a big migration of teachers who came down from Michigan back in the 80s, and so that's always been. I mean. People move here. You move from Chicago via several other cities when you were working. But a lot of people move to Houston because of cost of living is better. And now it's cost of living, although I would tell you the cost of living is starting to change. I mean, the houses are getting way more expensive. It is what it is. But you don't have state income tax. There's a ton of things to do here, especially when there's non-pandemic. It's not the most beautiful city. I recognize that. You travel around and you see, oh, you mean 100 million billboards is not the norm in every other city? That's weird. But Houston's got a great food scene. They got a cultural scene here. And Houston's known as, I mean, Houston's a city on the rise. A lot of people are going to want to move to Houston. I don't know if it's just all Californians, but if you don't have state income tax, oh, it's a big deal. You know, right now I have to fight because California's coming after me from working NFL Network and working here. They're like, hey, in 2018, you didn't pay any taxes. You owe us this. You owe us $7,000. Like, what? I don't live in that. I don't care.
You go there and work?
I went there like for a week.
Well,
I don't owe them $7,000.
$8,000.
They're trying to tax everything. And then I read something where, like, they're known as the most aggressive. If they get a sniff of you at all, even rolling through their state, they're going to come after you for as much as they can get.
I'm not going there ever.
So that's why I need to get if a CPA is listening who wants to help me out and can keep my money in my pocket, get at your boy, because that's ridiculous. But they're simply wrong. They're just trying to shoot their shot to intimidate me But I may owe him for the time I was there, I guess. Whatever it was, 7 days, 8 days total. Maybe I'll owe him for that. But I don't know, $7,000. Get out of here.
No, we ain't doing all that.
Get out of here and quit cheating in baseball. Do things the right way like the Astros.
Ian just put out, there's a guy screaming cheaters at the Astros, and he's wearing a Manny Ramirez jersey, Dodger jersey. Dude, is there no irony? Is there no irony whatsoever? You're screaming how the Astros cheated, and you're wearing a Manny Ramirez jersey? I mean, this is so ridiculous. So ridiculous. 713-780-3776. We haven't talked. Well, I don't think we've even touched on Julio Jones. We haven't even talked about
it. We did a little bit yesterday.
Well, what team possibly he could get to, and we want him to get to the Colts or the Titans so that the Astros can lose, the Texans can lose more games. But I guess he's $15 million, man. That is quite, and, oh, by the way, how about staying healthy? Do you really take a shot if you're the GM? I guess if you're close and you need a weapon, I guess you could see spending that 15.
100%.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, the Colts have a ton of money, and it's going to cost you a second-round pick. Why would you, if you're the Colts and you say, well, we got T.Y. Hilton, Michael Pittman, and now we got Julio Jones, why would they not do it? Why would the Tennessee Titans not do it? I got to see what the Titans' cap situation looks like. But Ballard doesn't spend that money because they don't have the cash on hand. But if Jim Irsay says, yeah, let's do it, then maybe they do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to be... Well, I say it's bad. It is bad news for our division. If you want the Texans to tank, I don't think you're going to have a problem. I don't think the Texans have to tank to lose games. I really don't. But I don't love Julio Jones in this division. I don't know how much he still has left. He hasn't been the same factor in Atlanta. But I feel like if he's healthy, he's going to be a problem.
Yeah, he's a problem. Well, if he's healthy, and then that's a big if. That's a huge if. But man, this is becoming the NBA now, dude. Deshaun, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, Julio Jones. I want out. I just want out. And get me out of this. Get me out of this place.
It becomes the NBA if NFL teams actually start acquiescing. So far, that hasn't happened.
Yeah,
teams aren't just saying, sure, okay, we'll find the best spot for you. That hasn't happened yet.
Well, we'll see what happens with Aaron Rodgers now. Aaron Rodgers doesn't show up. Aaron Rodgers got options.
And apparently, like, his top five receivers didn't show up. I think I read that at OTA.
Four of his top five or so.
Yeah. They were like, oh, Aaron's
we ain't
not here.
Going either.
I'm not catching passes from Jordan Love. Nah, we're good.
It was interesting what he said about Jordan Love, that he loves the kid. And, you know, and after practice, LaFleur praised praised Jordan Love and the way he practiced yesterday or whatever. But I guess he has to. This will be interesting to see. Okay, what do you give up for Aaron Rodgers if you're a team?
Oh, man. I mean, it's got to be the perfect team for him. It's got to be the perfect spot.
Whatever you're getting, the Broncos.
Man, that's a nightmare because the Packers are going to demand two firsts. I mean, Deshaun is going to bring more than Aaron Rodgers. I'm telling you, you guys can try to fight me on this if you want. The internet and Twitter can act like it's not. Deshaun Watson has a longer contract, and he has a longer career ahead of him. He does. You can act like, he might go to prison. He's not going to prison, and he will be playing football as soon as this gets settled and he does his time. He's going to. And when I say does his time, I mean the suspension. Aaron Rodgers, you know, it feels like he could play five more years. Will he want to? Is he going to? And I don't know that Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to. Like, I think Tom Brady had a little tougher time getting along with management in the end of his career. Aaron Rodgers hasn't. I think Aaron Rodgers is a little belligerent, honestly, as a player. And he's definitely a diva. But one thing that has changed, I think, is when you go to a new team, you got a fresh outlook, and some of that may be Aaron Rodgers just tired of being in the same place. We saw with Tom Brady, it happens. Brady came in the league in, 2000? Aaron Rodgers was cranky and right off the bat because he was shown on TV. We know his famous soul patch under his chin, under his lip, and he's sitting there watching as he falls down the draft board. We know the famous draft day drop, and that was in 2005. That was only 5 years later. So Aaron's been with his same team for a long time, too. And I think he just wants a break and just wants to go somewhere else and play, and that's fine. And we may see a happier version of Aaron Rodgers wherever he goes. But how long, what do you get him for? Maybe 4 years? He's going to cost you an arm and a leg. Are you going to get him for 4 years if you're Denver?
Yeah.
Is two, like, this isn't four or baseball. Five. In baseball, you understand it. This is your chance to win a Super Bowl. I mean, a chance to win a World Series if you get your hands on this player, Randy Johnson. With Aaron Rodgers, I feel like it's going to be tougher. There's more teams.
I don't know. I think the Tom Brady model now just told you, wait a minute, we don't even make the playoffs for how many, 18 years. We bring in Tom Brady and we win a Super Bowl. So it now maybe changed that whole landscape. Aaron Rodgers is Brady-esque in that he can turn a franchise. Look at what he's doing with Green Bay, with the talent that they... When I was there, I swear to God, when I was there in the summer, a couple of summers ago, when the Texans went there and they were practicing against them, I was like, this Packers team is bad. They don't have any talent. Devontae Adams, that was about it. Now, Aaron Jones has really stepped up, and he's pretty damn good. And Scantling, I guess they're okay. Tanyan has stepped up a bit, but I think that's all because of Rodgers. If Rodgers leaves, how many games do the Packers win?
Five, six.
Six?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean look at the difference. I can't see Jordan Love winning.
And now, okay, well, how many games did the Broncos win last year? Five, four, five, six. What will they win this year if Aaron Rodgers goes there?
I mean, 10 plus.
They'll be a playoff team.
Yeah, 10 plus. Yeah. Easily.
Easily. Easily.
No, I'm not saying. No, Aaron Rodgers, he's the MVP. He's going to have tremendous value. I get that. What is it worth? In that division, you still have to. It's a tougher division over there. But yeah, anybody who gets Aaron Rodgers has a chance to be significantly better. You know, it's funny. Look how quickly the narrative shifted. What would you have said about that before last season, where it looked like maybe Rodgers was headed on the downside? Then he fires up an MVP.
He was in the NFC Championship game 2 years ago. It was back-to-back years.
But Aaron has not been the same player statistically. Mm-mm. He wasn't the same guy. Last year, he was on a different level. And remember, there was a reason they drafted. There was a reason they drafted Jordan Love.
I don't know. I think they didn't know if he was last offseason you would have said it too, because he was pretty good the year before.
The thought was they were going to get rid of Aaron Rodgers because he was costing too much money.
Yeah.
He wasn't the same player, and that's why they were going to get rid of him, and Jordan Love was going to be the guy. And then he wins MVP, and it's like, oh, no. Now what do we do?
Yeah.
It looks like he could play a lot of football still. Like, he's still mobile, and he's still – Aaron Rodgers can play a lot of football. I'd prefer he stays in the NFC because – it gives the Texans a better chance to win a Super Bowl. You know, to get to an AFC championship game, the Texans need Aaron Rodgers. We can't have so many good quarterbacks
here. What did you just say?
Well, you have Pat Mahomes here, Lamar Jackson. If you have Aaron Rodgers, it's just going to keep – and Carson Wentz now, if he gets his stuff back, it's going to be harder for Terod or whoever
Allen
the quarterback is
as
to
well.
Get to an AFC championship
Let's rank
game.
The quarterbacks who would keep the Texans out of a Super Bowl in the AFC.
Okay.
You want to get – how many of the
Mahomes
quarterbacks?
Mahomes, one.
Uh-huh.
I would say Aaron Rodgers, two.
If he was in the AFC.
Yeah.
Josh
Allen, yeah. Three. Lamar Jackson, four. I mean, this is tough business. We don't need it any tougher. This is like trying to find a house, and you're with all the people from California moving here, it's getting expensive.
So you're saying it's going to be tough for Terod to get through that gauntlet.
If Aaron Rodgers, a California guy, moves in, he's raising the home rates, the home prices, it's harder. Yeah. You can sell your house for more, but it's more expensive to live here buy a house.
Let's say we remove those quarterbacks you named because, I don't know, let's say they all got sick and the team got sick, so you can't even add a backup to those teams and they're still good. Let's say we cut off the top five teams in the league in the AFCs and let's make it easier for the Texans. Who is Terod Taylor and this Texan team beating to make a Super Bowl?
Still got 10 more teams to get through. teams above them.
Who are they beating?
Yeah.
The Jags would be heavy favorites over the Texans to make a Super Bowl.
Yeah. It's going to be really, really tough. You're absolutely right. If, in fact, he's able if Aaron Rodgers comes over the AFC, man, the Texans are in some
Texans
trouble.
The Texans really need to do anything they can to make sure the Packers trade him to the NFC.
816-713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776.
By the way, we have to play Kenny Mayne's sign off. Did y'all play it yesterday?
We didn't play it.
We have to play Kenny Mayne's official sign-off of ESPN. So ESPN got rid of Kenny Mayne. I thought Kenny Mayne just shut it down.
No,
well,
he was
they
a
offered
cap
him
casualty.
Less money, apparently.
They're going to woefully underpay him, according to him. And he said, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. All right, we'll do it on the other side right here. Don't go anywhere.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh, hello. 819 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Lance, Dell's looking for the Kenny Mayne thing. We'll get that to you here shortly here on the show. There is an interesting story. There's an interesting story about college football and its looming roster crisis. And this is a real thing. I mean, I tell you what, it is different now than just 3 years ago recruiting high school kids. It's almost to the point where you can't recruit high school kids anymore because of the transfer portal. There are some coaches that say, and even Lincoln Riley has come out and said, yeah, we're doing it different now. Because here's the deal. He says there's without a doubt going to be less high school players getting scholarships. If a player leaves your roster, then you replace them with a transfer. You had to use an initial, which is you have 25 initials every year that you bring in a kid that this is his first scholarship. You bring in player on, and then you've got to use another one to bring in a new transfer. So you're using two on that one position and that one spot.
Mm-hmm.
So he says the more initials that get used up, every one of them takes away from a high school guy that you could sign.
See, everyone acted like the transfer portal was the greatest thing that's ever happened. It's not. It's going to stick a lot of kids who...
It's going to change things.
It's going to change, but there's a lot of kids who might have had a chance at another school, and they're going to get in a portal, and they're going to be a number because there's so many, and there's still so many. I talked to a coach the other day who said, there are kids who go in there, and they don't know they're going into the abyss. Their whole career is ending.
Yeah.
When they go transfer portal, a lot of players... Now, some of these guys aren't very good, but they still had a scholarship. They're going to no longer have a college scholarship. Yeah. They're going to have no home. And he said, I said, does that happen a lot? He goes, yeah, every year. They go there and they don't have a place, or they end up having to go to Division III.
Well,
where it's not
Division
no scholarship.
Three. They can go to
Division II.
FCS.
Well, you can go to FCS, but, well, not everyone in the portal is from a big school.
Right. Well, no, they're not. But if you are from a big school, you can end up easily at an FCS school.
Yeah.
And actually, it's going to bring up that. The wave is bringing up the FCS.
Now, I talked to a coach.
And actually, this small, the not-so-great Power 5 schools as well.
This is a big problem, though. The newest thing is there's a lot of coaches who hate the new rule that you don't have to sit out a year. So a coach who used to be at a big Power 5 team who's at a smaller team now, who I talked to it was late last week, he said, this is going to be a total disaster for a lot of teams. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, if you're a good, he said, like a North Dakota State, for example, like Jabril Cox, who ended up going to LSU. And he said, it used to be, if you're a grad student, and he said, you know, that made sense. You're a grad student. You get that extra year because you redshirted. You want to go try something at a big school or whatever. Give yourself a chance to go. Play at the NFL. He said, you know, that's going to happen. He said, what you're going to see now, since there is no sitting out, you're going to see colleges actively recruiting. Right. He said, they won't officially. He said, it's going to be a lot like the agent game. And I knew what he meant. That meant runners. So you're going to have some really slimy guys who are not officially tied to the school, and they're going to be recruiting off of other teams' rosters. And he said, if you're a smaller team, he said, you'll have your good players. You're going to lose them easily because, he said, smaller teams, you're going to get picked apart because they'll just say, we'll give you the best chance. We'll give you money. and we'll give you a chance to go to the pros or whatever. And he said, you know, schools, like he said, in Illinois will start, because I thought he just meant like his level. Mm-hmm. He said, oh, no, no, no. Smaller Power 5 teams are going to start getting cherry picked with guys who are willing to pay.
Well, I tell you, this is all, I think it's going to be just the opposite if you want to know the truth. The kid that goes to Alabama, Ohio State, that goes to Florida, and he's not playing, he was a highly recruited kid. And he's going to say, I got to go somewhere where I can play.
Well, Porter
does
that.
I can go and play at Vanderbilt. I can go play at Georgia Tech. I can go play at all of these, the Wake Forest and all these different schools. They're going to get much better players that are sitting there not playing, and that kids that can play. They're not going to – see, that's the advantage of having this transfer portal. It's these kids that were really good that you get stuck in a place that they went to the wrong place. Now they can go somewhere where they can actually play.
But he said the unintended consequence of not forcing you to sit out a year is that you now have opened the door for recruiting for smaller for teams that do have a good player on a lesser team.
Yeah.
Big teams are now going to recruit them. Because he said, here's what happens, Lance. He said, there's already some recruiting that goes on for graduate students. There's already recruiting because he just said, we're going to have teams now, and he mentioned a couple teams. They're going to go with their slush funds, and they're just going to start buying players off of other teams. He said, because there is no penalty. You don't have to sit out. At least that was a deterrent that you'd have to sit out if you're coming from another Power 5. He said, now you're going to have them buying players off of teams like the Premier League. And I knew exactly what he's talking about. And I hadn't really thought of it, but that's true. There's nothing to keep teams from recruiting your players now. Well, nothing. And especially if you just make it Wild West gun for hire. You say, we'll give you $100,000 to come over here and we'll do an NIL for you. We'll get you this girl.
What?
Get you in the pros. Whoa. Bye.
Well, the NCAA set themselves up for this. The NCAA set themselves up for this because when they don't want the athletes to be, you know, we're amateurish. You're not really employees. Then you can't pull a non-compete on a non-employee, which is what a year out would do. Well, you can transfer it, but you sit the year out.
Yeah.
Well, you can't put a non-compete on a non-employee.
Well, the scholarship is actually contractual. It is a contractual.
Does the scholarship say you're not allowed to play someplace else?
Listen, until recently and not everywhere, that contract was one way.
Right.
And it was 1 year.
Yours is two. When we're under contract, it's one way too.
No, you
can't just get out and start working somewhere. You can't just get out of your contract.
I can't get out, but they have to pay me. And you're right. I can't get out, and they can't get out of they agreed to pay me.
No, I got
it. That's a two-way contract.
I got clipped at 6'10 trying to get out of my contract. It cost me a bunch of money and legal fees.
Well, you had a contract, so it cost you to get out of it. Right. That's right. That's right. What it should. But
no, but they could fire without cause and get out of it.
But
unless I want to sue them.
But Lance, dude, is a contract binding for a coach that's got 4 years left on it and he leaves?
We already know that. Right. We already know that. Right. What I'm saying is there's an unintended consequence.
And forever, Lance, scholarships, you get a scholarship from a school and you don't perform the first year or the second year, beat it. You got no more scholarship here.
Not a lot, but that
happened all the time.
It happened everywhere.
You get recruited over and they just say, hey, maybe it's time for you to move on.
Yes.
Well, you must not be very good because I watched the same roster stay with teams for years and years and years. Guys who don't play.
Well, you don't know what was happening with backups that you never heard of?
It's a smaller number of guys.
There's 100 kids, and there's only 22 on the field. There were all kinds of stories of kids getting screwed
particularly when there wasn't a limit on how many guys you could bring in every year. The SEC had to put a rule in place because guys would oversign. And if you oversign, you're still 85.
The SEC was known. The SEC was known. LSU was the worst.
You had to push guys around.
The SEC was known for doing that stuff.
Saban did it everywhere.
But I don't think that was a massive problem across college football. The transfer portal is currently and a bigger, but like you said, it changes the game. If you don't care about the kids or the schools or whatever, then that's fine. If you just look at college football as just another brand of a lower level of football than the NFL, then that's fine. I don't think that's what it was intended to be. And basketball's already seeing this, and hopefully this will happen for football too, where we can just start clearing some guys out who don't want to be in college at all. Basketball now had the two twins. They're ranked 30th and 31st. They're an overtime elite. Is that what it's called? Do you know what I'm talking about? It's the new paid basketball league in high school. There's now 8 5 stars who are not going to college, and that's good.
That's fine.
If you're taking up a spot, but if that's the case, college is going to try to get back to student athlete. Now, the football is going to want to hang on forever. Basketball is not the same financial model anymore that it once was. And I think basketball, we could see, and this could be a good thing, guys who want to be student athletes and play college ball and want to be part of the college experience will have the advantage. And then the guys who are just there to just get done so they can get to the league won't even take up a scholarship, which is good for a kid who wants to go to college but can't afford a student debt of $140,000 or whatever,
yeah.
$120,000, whatever the case may be. Depends from school to school. That'll be good for them. They'll get to go to college. They'll play college basketball. Like most people, they won't go to the pros, like 99.3%, I think it is. They won't go to the pros. And but they'll get to go to college on a scholarship where they maybe weren't going to previously.
Yeah. 829 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. What we need is some insurance against all of
TGS this Insurance can't insure you against the transfer portal, but what they can insure you for is your home. And homeowners insurance is something that, you know, we're coming up on hurricane season. I know many people thought it was hurricane season this last week, but we're coming up on hurricane season. And so when the water's warmer, it's more likely to be a 4 and 5, you know, category 4 or category 5 hurricane. It brings the stronger winds, the more rain, the potential for flooding. We've been through it all. So you want A-rated insurance, first and foremost. But here's the thing. You don't want to have to pay ridiculous prices. And what TGS Insurance does is they've got a group of A-rated homeowners insurance groups, and they compete for your business. So they're giving you competitive homeowner prices for your insurance. And that means your average savings is about $900 plus, and many people save into the thousands. Many, many, many. So text the word money to 232323. Text the word money to 232323, or just go to the website, tgsinsurance.com, and start the process. And you can, by the way, get switched today with homeowners insurance that is much more affordable at tgsinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, we're back. 8:32 on ESPN 97.5. Shortest breaks in the world. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So remember, just stay here. Don't worry about it. We'll be back in a hurry. So your Astros last night, we got to get back to this, I guess. We got a Dodger fan that's trolling the show and cheaters.
Pay to numbers. And, you mean Mr. Numbers?
No.
Paul 764-387-2640.
Yeah.
Come on. I'm done with that guy.
Yeah.
About the Austin thing, Dustin says the advantages of Austin just aren't there anymore, not to mention it's so damn crowded now. Matt Harkrider, who's a listener of the show, he said, it was a good cost savings moving from L.A. to Austin up until about 6 months ago. Then it started changing big time. We had friends set to move from San Francisco. It would have been a money-making move 8 months ago. That's currently gone. Like, Austin is San Francisco now from a price standpoint. And if you've ever been to San Francisco, you know, that's just stupid. San Francisco and New York are on a different level. And congratulations, Austin. CJ said, we have homes selling for $100,000 more than what they paid. We just had a couple move in from L.A. down the street. Eric said, I drive Uber on the weekends. That caller was spot on. Many of these Dodgers fans have moved here. Ugh. Ugh.
Well, I guess we made Fox News. Fox News is doing a story on pitcher Joe Kelly, unafraid of speaking out against the Houston Astros in the wake of the organization's cheating scandal. And it showed last year when he reignited the two teams' rivalry. He says, I mean, just being real, people are sort of fake nowadays. So a lot of people talk ship online, wouldn't do it in person. They usually hide behind the computer. But whatever, people are biznotches. I mean, he said the ship word, and he said the biznotch word. Only I cleaned it up for the kids who are on their way to school.
Yeah. You're the friend of the parents.
I am friend of the parents.
So they don't hear bad words.
No. But you get the gist of Joe Kelly and what a scumbag he is.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do get that.
You already
gist.
Knew what kind of scumbag he was.
No, Joe Kelly's a special kind of scumbag who benefited from the Red Sox cheating, and now he's with these cheaters. Then don't tell me that the Dodgers didn't cheat. When Eric Kratz is, why is no one talking about Eric Kratz whistleblowing on the Dodgers and the Rockies? But if Mike Fiers said it, good Lord, it's the worst thing that ever happened in baseball. You people are so hypocritical with your Manny Ramirez jerseys talking about cheating, talking about the Astros cheating. F all of you L.A. people here. Did you see the giant parade they had to the park? They were walking down.
Who?
The Dodger fans.
Why is this happening? I mean, are you serious?
Walking down Texas Avenue, there looked like there were.
Do they know we're open
200
carry?
200 of them.
Do they know we're open carry?
What are you suggesting that with that?
No, I'm just asking if they know that. I wouldn't do that in an open carry
state.
Well,
some of them live here. So they probably are open carrying themselves.
Well, open carry means is I can have my core. I could have my Coors Light walking down the street.
That's a different thing.
What does open carry mean? That's what it means to me.
Well, yes.
Everybody has their own meaning.
Well, we know here you don't need to be trained, licensed to carry a gun now. That's a law. So you can just keep that thing on you at all times without any really prerequisites.
Mm-hmm.
Super disappointing.
The good thing is nobody has to be trained. That is the good thing.
That is my favorite part of that.
Yeah.
Who needs training? You need to be trained to drive a car. You need to be trained to drive a car. Like you can fail a driving test and not be allowed to drive. But now, you can stay strapped.
My son continues to go through training to be a firefighter. He just passed his firefighter 2. His hazmat test is coming up, and they ought to just let people fight fires. Like, look, here's some hoses or whatever. Just hook them up, turn it on or whatever, and just start shooting it at the house. Okay. If there's cats, you'll see some cats in trees or something like that. Just scrape them out of there. You've seen TV. You know how this works.
Yeah, right.
Just do firefighter stuff. You know how it works. Like everyone holds the hose and then you know, stay low when you go into a house probably.
Roll.
Stop, drop, and roll. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, my son is like, it's like a CrossFit every day. When you go through the physical stuff.
Oh, he must love that.
He'll put about 80 pounds. Oh, he does.
He loves that.
He's like, Dad, I thought I was going to. He said, we had a controlled fire that we had to go in. Man, he had like 80 pounds of stuff on. And there's a time where I'm struggling to breathe. It was like so exhilarating, man. There's nothing that makes you feel more alive. I was like, you know what? I feel like I'm alive when I'm doing watching movies on Netflix, laying in a bed.
This is a bar in Houston. Did you see this? Watch this. Look at this. This is a bar in Houston. It is all Dodger fans.
No, it's not.
It's full. It is packed.
How do you know that's a Dodger?
Look at, they're dancing to our music, too, those people. I mean, this is ridiculous, people. How did we let this happen here?
Wait. How do you know this is?
This is yesterday, Lance. This is yesterday. That's walking down Texas Avenue.
Accept it. Your city isn't what you thought it was.
My city betrayed me.
Golly.
Look at this.
Where is that?
This is Houston.
He won't accept it.
Who let them in there? Who let them do that?
Well, the bar owner, obviously.
Well, the bar owner was like,
whatever. You can't tell.
Whatever.
You know what? I didn't see them have any masks. We're a mask.
They sold all those seats to group.
Jim Crane has got to fire everybody.
Jim Crane has got to get.
It's time for Jim Crane to fire his
whole
ticket.
You got some explaining to do, Jim Crane. Letting all these people into our stadium.
We got a tweet from somebody who said, my friend works for the ticket company. They're all worried they're going to get fired by Jim Crane.
Jim Crane. No, I said that a little bit earlier. You missed it, a good show.
No, I heard you say it, but did you read the exact tweet?
Yeah. No, okay. I didn't. You didn't either. You just
plagiarized. I read the exact. Well, yeah, it's true. Yeah. You just paraphrased it when you read it.
Yeah. So
I thought you were saying it like you knew somebody.
No, I said I don't know if it's true because it's on Twitter. Everything on Twitter is true.
Well, that made it true, actually.
Yes. So this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable what we've let happen in this city. And we can't stand for it.
Did they get a permit for this parade?
I'm going tonight and turning this around.
Did they get a permit for a parade to walk down the street?
I know.
Just let them walk
in New Orleans. You got a second. That's a second line.
Red tape should be able to shut this down.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
That is embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
Don't retweet that either.
Yeah. I had about 24 friends that lived in Austin. All but one has moved to neighboring cities like Round Rock, Georgetown, and San Marcos. Austin has been steadily turning into a shithole for 20-plus years. Yeah.
Our guy who listens to the show in Texas sometime, who lives in Austin, who's an agent, he sold it. He's like, I had to sell my house. It's too much money. He said, I said, what are you doing? He goes, rent Airbnb. He said, we're probably just going to Airbnb or rent it out until we build another house. It's cheaper to just buy land and build on that than it is to try to buy a house. He said, all my neighbors, all my friends and neighbors, we've all sold our houses. They're just giving us too much money. It's stupid not to.
Yeah, wait. But then you got to live somewhere and pay again, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know about that.
Yeah, but
he said
it's cheaper to build. You go further away.
Yeah.
Piece of land and you build your own house the way you want it.
I don't know if I want to live farther away.
So when Joe Kelly got Altuve to ground out, there were audible and loud Kelly chants last night, too. Like, the broadcast was discussing that particular chant.
Have you noticed that all he's doing is he keeps bringing this stuff up?
He's bringing it up.
You're doing it nonstop, Dell. This is intentional.
He brought this back to the show.
There's a Joe Kelly chant. They're marching down this city and what you thought it was.
What's he talking about?
He's trying to pick it up.
John showed you videos on his laptop.
I see your little rabbit traps. I see your rabbit snares.
John showed you videos on his laptop of it.
You started this whole thing with your rabbit snares.
No, you
poking at us.
Why don't you just accept that your city isn't what you think it is?
No. Don't be talking about our city.
I'm talking to him. He won't
accept
it.
You're from Galveston.
No, okay. I'm not, actually.
Yeah,
I'm
no, not. You're close to there or something.
Why don't you accept that your city is allowing this to happen?
All right.
With no obstruction.
Guys, you hear what happened with Joe Kelly?
The pop.
Yeah. He's trying to piss us off.
No, I know.
And I see what he's doing now.
No, I'm not.
It was working for a while until I figured out what he was doing.
John has consistently looked at things and go, what the hell?
Did you write this in the notes? Piss off. Notes on your phone.
No, what I wrote on the rundown, which you never look at, is should the city be embarrassed by what they allowed?
I'll tell you what.
I think
it's
going
to be
nice
to have the Dodgers out of here, but then the Padres. This is going to be like this is. And then the Red Sox.
No, you have to ruin Bauer tonight. You have to ruin Bauer.
Oh, my gosh. This is horrible right now. This team is playing. What the hell happened to this team? It's back to that horrible team that was around for about 3 weeks ago, and then it was great, and now it's back to horrible again. You're embarrassing the city. You better step up tonight. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be yelling at Dodger fan. I'm going to be there. And you know what? All Houston, show up there tonight, all right? Don't let these people march down Texas Avenue and take over your building. Show up tonight.
If you haven't already sold your tickets to them.
No, the Astros did.
Sorry, Prince told you this.
They sold them in blocks.
Did you see this? He says this. Building in the same neighborhood on a nicer lot for one-third the price of what I sold for. Californians have to move right now to avoid California state tax, income tax for the year, and so they will overpay. So the Californians are avoiding state income tax right now. Wow. So that's why apparently they're just giving money away.
They're looking for a house. I got one.
No, you can't go back to a high rise or whatever.
No. We'll find one, whatever.
If you want to listen, if y'all will give me 40% higher than the market value, I'm willing to.
40%?
I'll just figure it out.
Will you throw in a couple of your kids, too?
Well, market value's gone up.
And you know what?
Your
house would go for in California? That's what you charge them. What your house would go for in L.A.
Well, they're going to say, well, that's not a value for me then.
Yeah.
All right, you know what? I'll give you a 10% reduction.
Well, you were going to pay that anyway, so just pay it. Now you don't have to pay the tax as much in taxes.
Yeah, that's fair.
Are you allowed to go? Are you from California? Is that what you're allowed to do? Hey, you're from California, right? So it's going to be this price for you.
That's right.
Oh, no, I know what Eric Layden's house, when he had his house in West Hollywood, which it's as small as like 1,800. It was 1,800 square foot home. It's not, Hollywood. No, it's like Heights houses. Those little bungalows or Heights houses. That's what he had. And when he told me what his house was and what somebody who used to be on Saturday Night Live had a house and she was renting it out, I said, what is the rent for? He goes, $7,000. It rents for $7,000? Like a 1,900 square foot home? He goes, yeah. He goes, that's the rental price. You just have to be house poor.
Holy crap. You know what? You know what's brought up the value of your home? Your patio.
It actually, it really did. And if you listen, I'll sell to an Angels fan, okay? If you want to buy my home and you say, this patio is unbelievable, I'm willing to pay whatever you want. I'm going to say, this is the first thing I'm going to say. I'm saying, well, Stephen Schell would want me to check, since he's the guy who owns and runs Texas Custom Patios. he's not going to want a bunch of Dodger fans moving here. Are you? And I don't want an A's fan. That's in the division. Angels fans are, but Angels suck. So I guess I could take money off an Angels fan, because I can tell you this. They'll love my patio, Texas Custom Patios. You'd love it, too, if you came by. If you have a patio from Texas Custom Patios, you already know exactly what I'm talking about. Their ability to create an oasis in your backyard is off the charts. They design it for you. You see an exact rendering from their CAD system, and they build it to look exactly like the design. They never go over budget, because if they do, they pay for it. They never have you ever pay for it. There's no additional fees that they try to throw in there. And, well, it's going to cost you this. I mean, they say, this is what we're doing for you, and we're going to build it with unbelievable materials, and you're going to get dollar-for-dollar value when it comes time to sell your home. And in many cases, with the boom that we're seeing with homes, it's getting you more than dollar-for-dollar value, because it really adds a differentiating factor when you have a custom-built patio from Texas Custom Patios. Go to TexasCustomPatios.com.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Sports. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776, 97.5 and 92.5.
Why y'all letting Dale Crowbar Dodgers talk?
I wish the people who listen to the show could actually, you know, understand how the show goes. John continues to look at videos and get entranced by it, and I just go, "Oh, look, this is happening too." I'm not the one leading the conversation.
I couldn't hear the sound last night, so I didn't. I was watching. I was like, "Wow, it seems like there's a lot of Dodger fans there," and it seems like we're throwing a lot of balls.
Well, when you walk nine guys,
nine walks. That's just pitching scared right there is all that's doing. Scrub. My goodness. This bullpen is a disaster. A disaster. Now, three starters come back. Three starters in Urquidy, Odorizzi, and Fromber. It moves three guys two guys into the bullpen, because they still don't have that Urquidy spot worked out yet. But it moves two guys into the bullpen, more than likely Garcia and Javier.
Thing is only because based on his...
you need somebody that can do that. And Javier, we know, can do that. We saw him last year in the playoffs do it.
And
you're
at a point where the bullpen is just such a major, major need right now. We haven't talked about this since early in the show. The bullpen was an unmitigated disaster. It was the worst case scenario. Joe Smith comes in, and here's the problem with Joe Smith. He only works in the lower level of the zone. He works from the middle of the zone down. So even yesterday when he was hitting the spots lower in the zone, it doesn't matter, because the hitters know. They know where the plane of the swing is going to be. It's going to be, you just simply look low. So now you've eliminated the upper part of the zone. You've eliminated that, so you don't even look there. You just look low. And he's not working up and down enough, and everything just looks flat. I mean, he's got a little curveball. He doesn't have big drop because he's a sidearm pitcher. He's got a little, he throws that little knuckle curve thing, that slider that was really ripping a crate, a couple of them that, and Todd Callis even said that might be his best slider of the entire year on one pitch. But the problem is, if you're only working the bottom of the zone and hitters start looking at the bottom of the zone, they're going to be on the plane to hit you hard. And that's what happened again. Joe Smith came in, gave up his run. Obviously, Enoli came in, couldn't find a strike zone. Bases got loaded, walked them bases loaded. Kenny Manuel came in, got hurt. Andre Scrub came in, walked two men home. You know, Emmanuel had a bases loaded where he walked. Didn't Emmanuel... No. He just put a man on. That wasn't a run. Didn't score, I don't think, or did it? When he had to leave the game after he...
Yeah, Scrub came in and gave up runs.
No. Kenny Manuel. Was his walk a bases loaded walk? Did a runner come in on that one? I'll look that up. But he left, and right away, Maldonado knew something was wrong with him. They came out there and decided, okay, he needs to come out of the game. They delayed a little bit. Luckily, Scrub came in and did his thing, walking in more runs.
Yeah, Maldonado said after the game that he knew something was off before, you know, even through his first pitch in terms of competition, because he said he's a normally guy who's around 92. He only got up to 89. And didn't throw one strike in warming up.
So it's funny that Jeff
Manuel walked in a run.
Yeah, so and Anoli didn't. He just loaded him up?
Well, here's the numbers for the guys combined. Smith, Paredes, Emmanuel, and Andre Scrub, according to the suite from Adam Spillane. They faced 20 batters, recorded 9 outs, threw 103 pitches, 55 strikes, 6 walks allowed for those 4 guys.
They faced 20. You said they faced 20 batters?
And got 9 outs.
Got 9 outs and threw 103 pitches.
And 55 were strikes.
And 6 walks?
6 walks, yes.
Yeah, no, the inning started with, Anoli. Those were all 3 runners that were walked in were all Anoli's runners. He, a single, a hit by pitch, and a walk. And then Manuel came in and walked in a run.
The hit by pitch was so far behind him.
This is all with 2 outs. They walked 3 runners in.
The hitter, the pitch was so far behind that it barely grazed off the back right shoulder of the right-hand hitter. And it's like, you knew Anoli had no idea where the pitches were going. But Scrub to miss the zone that
his
badly?
His last few outings. Anoli, you can't count on Anoli. You just can't.
Can you count on Scrub? John?
Apparently not.
Can you count on Abreu?
No. No.
Who are you
That's
counting
why,
on?
Listen, I mean, I don't know. I don't know who. If you're blaming Dusty at all, you're misguided. Dude, he's got, I keep saying he's got a hand, he's got one hand tied behind his back with this bullpen. Who do you go to? Name the guy that, you, other than Presley, in that bullpen that you go, well, we're going to bring this guy in. We know we can get outs. There is not one guy in that bullpen that you can really count on. Not one guy. And then the bats just go silent for whatever reason. After just bombing in Oakland, they just, all of a sudden, they just totally shut down. Everybody just shuts down. How you can manage this, I don't know. What do you do? Well, let's just trade everybody out.
Well, do you have any minor league system right now?
Yeah, you got the Skeeters.
Okay, then let's start looking for something. Listen, even if it's bad, at least it's a different bad.
Well, you got Chaz McCormick and Miles Straw both in the lineup because Brantley hasn't been able to go for the last couple.
Okay, well, that's
that's a disaster. Lance.
Well, it is what it. That's your. That's
you got a 190 hitter and a 220 hitter.
What does that have to do with the
and
bullpen?
Then you got the 180 catcher.
Well,
and then, I mean, this is
well, but the bullpen is the bigger problem. Your offense is not as big a problem
as
your
bullpen.
No,
the offense has been a problem since they got to Texas.
It's been inconsistent. Yeah.
Since they got back to
the
Texas.
The bullpen's been a problem since last year.
You can't
year.
Listen. The people were pissed about giving up 2 runs or losing the game the other day. And they scored 2 runs, and they got it in the 8th inning on a ground ball in an error.
I get that, but you're going to have to.
What do you want? What do you want from the bullpen when every pitch is life and death?
Well, yeah, but they're not good enough. I don't care if it's life or death.
Well, they were down 5. By the way, it was a 5-1 game when the bullpen did all that.
So you think
they weren't going to score 5 runs.
Well,
that game was lost offensively and with the bullpen. That they sucked last night.
But the bullpen sucks all the time. That's the bigger problem. Is I know the offense can hit. Look at the batting averages. Look at the runs scored. Look at the slugging. Listen. If you think I get that it's inconsistent, that's a separate conversation. This is just not even functional. This bullpen is not a functional bullpen. And since you have a lineup full of guys, since you have a starting, when it was, do you know that 26 in 2019, 26 quality starts for Verlander, 26 for Cole. One had 34 starts and one had 33. 26
I don't know if you heard, you don't have them anymore.
Yeah. And that's my problem is, who is the guy that goes
to
the 7th?
So is it the starters or the bullpen?
No, what I'm saying is you have to go
to
the bullpen all the time.
That bullpen is already, you've used it up. I mean, it's fatigued already.
It is what it is, though. You have Zach Greinke can't go deep most games. Lance McCullers' pitch count is going to get high. So you have to have a
– So is
you
it know the starters?
This. No, it's not starters. That's who they are. You know who they are. Lance McCullers has an ERA under
three.
Tell
me what three. Bullpen in the league can just come in and give you four innings
John,
every night.
I'm just asking them to be a professional bullpen. They suck.
They suck.
They suck. But, you but, still have to do
you
your
job. But
you've
got three starters out, and you've got at least three relievers out.
Well, let's get them back.
And Blake Taylor, Pedro Baez, and Josh James.
Baez didn't
plus
pitch
you don't have
Urquidy,
Fromber.
What I'm telling you is these guys aren't major leaguers.
Yeah.
Andre Scrub is not a major leaguer. It doesn't
well,
look like.
Well, he was
and
okay
only Paredes
last year.
May not be a major leaguer.
No, he's not. I don't think he is.
Honestly,
no.
What? Okay, last year, that was a tiny
sample
size.
He's got a whip, and you get infatuated with that, but dude can't hit spots.
We have to stop taking last year and acting like that sample size is the absolute go-to sample size. It was in environments where there were never anybody in the stands. The Astros were losing. By the way, they were a bullpen for a losing team.
Yeah, they were 29.
They were a losing team. We misremember the season because they had a good postseason.
So,
and who was pitching in the postseason? John, who was pitching in the postseason?
You got six guys out right now, though, Lance, that can certainly bolster a bullpen when
yes,
they get back.
I'm not worried about those six. Baez has major league. I brought this up yesterday. Baez has major league pedigree. Presley has major league pedigree. Then who else? Who has major league pedigree as a bullpen pitcher? Of the guys who are in your not Abreu, not Scrub, not Paredes,
not even Taylor,
not even
or
Taylor,
Josh James,
not Rayleigh,
Josh James
not Josh
some.
James. Josh James is as close as you can get.
And when he's there, we're like, oh,
when's
this
the last
is
time?
Crap.
When's the last time Josh James pitched?
Who knows? He broke his hip. He's 100 years old. He broke his hip. What are you gonna?
I mean, they don't. I'm just telling you. I don't think these guys are good enough.
I almost broke my hip, by the way.
And even
this weekend,
and even with Odorizzi coming back, who sucked. By the way, he sucked in the minor leagues too. Yeah. By the way, Odorizzi hasn't pitched well.
Oh, he pitched well in his last start.
Lived in Houston. Yeah, he did. But not in the minors.
No, I'm in his last minor league appearance.
Yeah, he went four
and
two-thirds.
He just did, right?
He just did.
Yeah. Odorizzi,
on Monday.
Yeah.
He's going to be back in mid-June. He and Fromber will be here in mid-June. And when this is all through and they've lost 14 straight games, then you know what? You go, hey,
here's what you're,
let's
here's
get
what
it back
you're
together.
Counting on. You're counting on getting Christian Javier and Odorizzi to the bullpen. Two guys who are starters. Luis
Garcia.
But Javier is for sure a starter. But he'll probably have to go to the pen because you have to do that.
Yeah.
Remember last year when your bullpen was much better in the postseason? Well, that's because Javier was there.
And he's going
not
back
because
there
of bullpen pitchers. Ryan Presley wasn't good in the postseason.
You use Javier every day now when he gets back to the bullpen.
What are you going to do about your bullpen? What are you going to do about getting functional players who can do their job?
Is Jim Click alive?
James Click.
I call him
you
Jim.
You call him
We're
Jim.
Tight.
I know, yeah.
We're
you're,
tight.
You're friends.
Is
remember
James Click, is he alive? Because I don't know if he's watching this. I don't know if he's watching all these at Minute Maid Dodger Stadium. I don't know if he's seeing what's going on here. But maybe he could go out and do something and get somebody in here.
Who's he trading to get, guys? Their minor league system's kaput.
Yeah. They're ranked...
People don't
third
care about that.
Third
anymore.
To last.
No, if
people
you
don't
want,
care about prospects
you want to acquire
aren't
good
you the
players.
Same guy
draft
said,
picks.
Aren't you the same guy that said James
picks.
Click? What?
He did say that at one point.
Like as a positive?
Yeah, that's on his resume. James Click what?
Well, James Click what? How about James
went,
Click what?
James Click.
James
what?
Click. Pick up a phone, James Click. Get somebody in here.
I know. Pay that cricket bill and get on the phone and do something.
9 o'clock.
ESPN 97.5.